3 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show on this Monday. Suns lose last night to the L.A. Lakers. Cut it to 7 in the fourth quarter. Tried to make a little push. They just couldn't quite
Cameron
do it.
Cameron Payne was...
Yeah, he was great. Career high 24.
He was playing great. Knocking down threes, driving it to the basket. Cameron Payne was good.
Yeah, remember what Monty said. We played this cut earlier, but I'm going to play it again to kind of frame up this conversation. He was talking about the last two games, the Knicks, the Lakers. There was a playoff intensity, and the Suns were late to the party in both. Friday night, they were able to rally and beat the Knicks with largely how they played in the second half of that game. Last night, didn't happen against the Lakers. It's what he said at the end of this soundbite that is the most intriguing.
The reality is this is two games in a row where teams have come out with playoff intensity and we haven't started games well or played it well in the first half to have some momentum going in the halftime. We've had to come out of halftime and try to dig ourselves out of a semi-hole the other day. And then today, you know, from an intensity standpoint, I thought we were way behind. You look at the stats, it looks like, you know, in the second half, we played a lot better, but we just got to get off to better starts. And we have to understand that teams are sending a message. You know, this time of the year, we play playoff teams. We played a team that we might see in the first round. And I felt like they were sending us a message tonight. And I think our guys heard it loud and clear.
I felt like they were sending us a message tonight. Our guys heard it loud and clear. Jay Williams.
They were.
This morning on ESPN Radio, radio show you frequently make appearances on.
Yes.
Jay Williams on ESPN Radio this morning. The Lakers want to see the Suns in round one of the playoffs.
If I'm the Lakers, I want to see the Phoenix Suns. I want to see them in the first round of the matchups. You know why? Because I think Phoenix is going to be the first top seed to go out
early.
And they're also, Phoenix is going to rejuvenate the playoff career of LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder when they come back.
Hey, Jay, here's an open wound. Just squeeze some lemon juice into it while you're at it. Pour some salt on that bad boy, okay?
Can you argue with him?
No. Oh, no.
I mean, listen, Nick.
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying what he says stings like hydrogen peroxide on a wound. It's just like, stop saying that.
Listen, there is no way that in a normal type of year, the L.A. Lakers are playing in a play-in game and the two seed's going to get the Lakers. It's not going to happen. I think I heard something today since 84 when they started the seedings, no team that low has won a championship. So the Lakers have no team that low since 84 when they started the seedings like that.
Mm-hmm.
No team has won a championship seeded that low.
To your point, and I sent you this morning, I was looking at theringer.com today, and they've got their playoff odds, right? I'm going to show this to you right now. I sent this to you. Playoff odds. Teams... chances that they make the playoffs, chances that they win the title. Okay, the Suns have obviously qualified for the playoffs, so they're 100% there. Their chances of winning the title are at 8%. Jazz are like at 45, 76ers are at 14, the Bucks are at 13.
Take the Celtics out. Jaylen Brown, torn ligament in his wrist, he's out for the season.
Ooh, okay. So
take the Celtics out.
Look at where the Lakers are. Less than 1% chance of winning the title.
See,
Look, the Blazers are less than 1%. The Heat are less than... they're giving the Celtics a better chance, the Mavs a better chance, the Hawks, the Knicks, the Nuggets. All of those teams have a better chance than the Lakers.
You buying that?
No.
LeBron James and Anthony Davis healthy and good night for a lot of teams,
yes.
Right? I mean, it should be. By the way, did you see the way Caruso played last night? Ben McLemore came in and was hitting threes. Like it was going out of stuff. Wesley Matthews?
Yeah.
Hey, like where'd that guy come from?
Where did these guys
come from? Wesley Matthews came in, started, he was playing well. So, look, a lot of things went right for them in that game against the Suns. They definitely wanted to send a message. They did lose to Portland in a game that was important for them a couple nights before that. They did lose to Portland. So, you know, is this, again, the Suns aren't playing good right now. They didn't play good against Cleveland. They didn't play good against Atlanta. They didn't play that well against the Knicks. I mean, part of this is not an let's just bow down to the L.A. Lakers and their greatness. Part of this is the Suns aren't playing
well.
That's
a very, very accurate point.
I mean, Portland didn't bow down to the Lakers. They beat them.
Yep.
Right? The Lakers went into that game. They wanted to win, and Portland beat them. Like that game had more meaning than the Suns game, and Portland punched them in the mouth, and they beat them.
Yep.
I mean, the Lakers, and LeBron didn't play in that game.
I think what you're saying is so smart. Because while we're sitting here,
I'm no longer an idiot. 3 o'clock's over.
Yeah, you're not allowed to call Gambo an idiot on Twitter anymore for saying on Friday he didn't care if the Suns played the Lakers in the first round. The expiration has been reached on calling Gambo an idiot on Twitter. So don't do it, otherwise he's going to block you. Please don't do it. The point you're making is very smart. All right, we're sitting here and it's Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. Oh my God, avoid the Lakers. Oh my God, the Lakers want the Suns. The Suns have to play better. The Suns are capable of playing so much better than they've played these last couple of weeks. We were talking about it pre-show. When was the last time the Suns played a really good basketball game? Like beginning to end, really good game. Yeah. You have to go back to the Utah Jazz game on Friday night about a week and a half ago.
That was in April. This is May. That was the end of April. They didn't play good against Cleveland. They didn't play good against Atlanta. They didn't play good against the Knicks. They didn't play good against the Lakers. They're not playing good.
No, they're not.
And part of it's the Suns' problem.
Yep.
But everyone has to just bow down to the Lakers and all you're looking at something that gives them less than a 1% chance of winning the NBA championship.
I'm looking at something that gives the Lakers less than a 1% chance.
I wouldn't give them that low of a chance. But in reality, look, I mean, the Suns have to fix themselves. They got to fix themselves. They got a short amount of time to kind of fix themselves.
Yep, you're right. And for what it's worth, I saw this story today, too. When it comes to money being wagered on who's going to win the NBA championship, there's still plenty of money coming in on the LA Lakers.
But what's the odds?
Plenty. I think two different sports books have them with the second best odds of winning the championship.
Like if you bet $100, how much can you win?
I think it's $400 if the Lakers win the championship.
If you bet $100, you win $400?
Yeah, if you bet $100, you win $400. And I think the Nets are...
I'm in.
Are you in?
Why not? I'll take those odds.
I'll find that story here in a minute. Let me play this soundbite here for you from Jeff Van Gundy on ESPN Radio this morning. He was asked... If you're the Lakers, who would you rather play, the Suns or the Utah Jazz?
Phoenix.
Why?
Because Davis has, like, an advantage. They have no matchup for Davis. So, you know, if Davis has no matchup, and I do like, I like the Lakers, the possibility of their guard defense. You know, I know Schroeder's out right now, but, you know, Caruso's a good defender. Caldwell Pope's a good defender. Wes Matthews is a physical, tough defender. So I think they have some backcourt matchups that would work fairly effectively against the great backcourt that Phoenix has. But again, it comes down to Anthony Davis. Like, they just don't have a matchup for him.
We talked about that earlier.
No, they don't.
They don't. And here's the other thing I noticed watching last night's game, and I know you noticed the same thing. All right. Say whatever you want about the Lakers and what they can do very well, and what they did very well last night is defend. They defend the hell out of you. And that's the one thing that they can do against the Phoenix Suns. Brian Windhorst was talking about that today on The Jump.
I don't know how healthy LeBron is going to be. I don't know whether they're going to hit their three-pointers, because when they do, they're a different team. Last night, they hit them. But I do know they can control their defense. And so they have got to defend at the bubble level. And then if it's a 75% LeBron or an 80% or a 76.4%, they have a better chance of getting through the play-in and having a shot in the first round.
And more than how you stop Anthony Davis, that's what scared me the most about that matchup watching that game last night. They defended the hell out of the Phoenix Suns. Passing lanes, messing with Booker, messing with Paul, taking them out of their rhythm. DeAndre Ayton had, what, 3 shot attempts the whole night?
1 in the first half.
The ball handlers couldn't get him the ball. They were just all so messed up with what they were trying to do with the way the Lakers defend. I'm almost as nervous about that as I am about the who guards Anthony Davis, how do you slow him down matchup. The Lakers are a matchup problem for the Phoenix Suns, but to your point, you're right. Suns have to, there's better in there for the Suns.
Much better.
Much better in there for the Suns.
They
got to find it.
The way they played last night, they look like a team that would get swept in 4 games by the Lakers. That's what they look like. They look like a team that would lay down and lose in 4 games. They're better than that. Listen, you know, the Suns should be able to win some games where a guy goes off for 35 or 40 points. The Suns have to score. I mean, they got to hit their threes. They got to score. They got to get, you know, it was a big free throw discrepancy last night, too, was a big part of that.
Huge.
You know, with the Lakers getting more free throws. So it was just not a good game overall for Phoenix. They got to find themselves and quickly.
Text the word playoffs to 620-620 right now. Sign up for the exclusive Arizona Sports Playoffs Valley virtual event featuring Arizona Sports hosts and other special guests. You'll also have a chance to win an autographed jersey. And text the word playoffs to 620-620. The Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. The official NFL schedule is coming out on Wednesday for the Cardinals. It's already looking pretty daunting if you use one metric. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. We'll talk about how much we love Buda Baker a little bit later, because he
Buda
changed his number. just in time for Gambo's birthday in November for me to get him the actual Buda Baker jersey with the actual Buda Baker number on it.
Wow.
It's his third number change now.
November.
Glad I didn't. Yeah, right?
November. I got like 6 months. Still, I'm like halfway to my birthday.
Plenty of time to order it. You know, plenty of time for me to get it. Mm-hmm. And this is the year for sure you're getting the Buda Baker jersey. That's a 100%.
Black. Go black.
I will do it. You know what? For your double nickel birthday, I will take requests.
Damn.
Sorry, was I not supposed to say that out loud?
No, I don't care because I don't feel it that way. I don't feel like the whatever age I am. I don't feel the
double nickel.
I just don't feel it. I feel like feel like I did when I was in my 20s and 30s. I don't feel any different.
We'll talk about Buda in a second because of the jersey thing. The Cardinals made an announcement today regarding that. But first, on Wednesday, when it comes to the NFL, it's a fun day for us around here. The schedule is going to be released. Now, we know the opponents for the Arizona Cardinals. We've known the opponents since the end of the season, basically. And then when they added the 17th game, we knew it's going to be the Cleveland Browns. So we know who they're playing and which games are here and which games are there. We just don't know the layout. We don't know the format. We don't know the schedule. And therein lies, you know, where's the tough pocket? Where's the tough stretch? Where's the three road games in 4 weeks kind of thing? Where's the bye? All that stuff. Are you back east for bad weather, et cetera, et cetera? Before the schedule comes out, the Pro Football Network ranked every team's strength of schedule. And they based it off of projected win totals by Las Vegas. Okay? So not simulations, not we ran a computer model 10,000 times, not power rankings, nothing like that. Vegas thinks this is how many games you're going to win. We're using that as your number. Okay?
Okay.
Fourth toughest schedule in the NFL for the Arizona Cardinals. Fourth toughest. And what they wrote about the Cardinals, it was brief. It wasn't a lot. But the Pro Football Network wrote, the Cardinals, Raiders, and Steelers are in an unenviable position. All three teams view themselves as potential playoff contenders. To achieve that, they have to navigate a tough schedule. There's no margin for error for these three teams. They have to come out of the games they should win with victories because they will face many outstanding teams in 2021. You ready for the teams?
We're going to get the schedule Wednesday.
Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Yes, sir.
Wednesday at 5 o'clock, we'll know the schedule.
But here are the teams.
Okay, give me the teams.
Okay. At home.
Can I rate them on a certain scale?
Sure. Of toughness?
Tough, not tough, but mediocre?
Rate them on whatever schedule, whatever standard you want.
Okay. Tough, mediocre, or not so tough.
Okay.
Okay.
At home, you've obviously got the Rams, Niners, and Seahawks.
Yeah, like all three of those would be tough.
Okay.
They're all tough matchups. They're good football teams. They're put together well. They're coached well. They got good players. All those games are tough. Okay. All of them tough.
Carolina.
Not so tough. You know who their quarterback is?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah,
he's
great. Not so tough.
Former top five pick in the NFL.
Not so tough. Yeah, like 6 days ago, and they got traded already.
Yeah. The Green Bay Packers.
Is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback?
I would assume so.
If Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, then that's tough.
But you know what? I can't say for sure.
But he might not be.
The Houston Texans. You don't even need to say it.
Not so tough.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Tough.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Not so tough.
Okay. Away, you've got three tough games, Rams, 49ers, Seahawks. You're at the Chicago Bears.
Not so tough.
You're at the Cleveland Browns.
Tough game.
You're at the Cowboys.
Not, well, I mean, Dak, is Dak going
to
be back?
Am I supposed to be keeping track of this, by the way, the tough, the not so tough? So is somebody keeping track of these things? Was I supposed to do that? I'm sorry,
I mean, Minnesota,
I haven't been.
Minnesota, Chicago, Green Bay, like.
So far, I know this. You've said the Rams are tough, the Niners are tough, the Seahawks are tough.
Green Bay's
tough,
Cleveland,
the Colts are tough.
Cleveland's
tough. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 tough teams.
Okay.
The Lions.
No.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
No.
The Tennessee Titans.
They're mediocre. They're like the Titans and the Titans and the Vikings are just, they're okay. Like they're okay. It could be a depends. You could win or lose those games.
You got 9 tough teams so far.
Titans are good. Like they're good. They got a good running game. They got a great running back. Like that's not a not so tough game, the Titans. But it's not like, oh my God, that's such a tough game. Yeah, the schedule's not like, what's the gimmies on the schedule?
What's the gimmies?
I feel like the Texans at home is a gimme.
Okay, one.
I mean, like the true gimmies.
Lions?
I feel like the Lions on the road are a gimme.
With Jared Goff?
And I feel like the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road are a gimme.
Okay, the gimme would be...
Those are the three gimmies.
So we think the Lions, the Jags, and what was the third one?
The Texans at home. Those are the gimmies.
Okay. Not a ton of gimmies.
Not a ton of gimmies. The Bears, I wouldn't call a gimme because you might end up playing them in the middle of December on the road. That's not a gimme. If you're going to Chicago in the middle of December and the wind is whipping off the lake, that's no gimme for anybody. So I wouldn't.
No, but
that to me depends on when you're playing them.
I mean, by then, the kid's going to be playing quarterback. They're not going to go all year with Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
So by December, they'll have the kid at quarterback, Justin Fields.
For what it's worth, Jordan showed me last year's strength of schedule, ranked by toughest to easiest. They had the Patriots as the toughest schedule in the NFL, followed by the Jets, the Dolphins, the Niners, and the Bills. I'm looking for, like, good teams in there. The Dolphins played pretty well to that schedule. The Bills obviously
Bills
played
are kind of right where the Cardinals are at in this one.
They are. The Bills, you know what? That's a good point. The Bills had the fifth toughest schedule last year. We're kind of in a playoffs, we got to do this year, and they ended up doing very, very well, going all the way to the AFC title game.
You know, the thing about the schedule is there's only a few teams in the league that are really great teams. And then there's a lot of mediocre, and then there's a few that are really bad. So, to be honest with you, like, all the games that you're playing are game. Like, how many games are decided by 7 points or less? How many of the games are decided by one score? The majority of the games you play are decided by one score or less, so... I mean, this, like, strength of schedule and how tough a schedule is. Hey, for a lot of teams, man, 10 of your games are going to be decided by, you know, 8 points or less. They're going to be decided by one score or less because that's just the way the league is right now.
Yeah, I think the Titans are a little tougher maybe than you're giving them credit for, but we could quibble on that one. The Titans are pretty good. They were an 11-win team last year. They're pretty good.
I don't fear them. Like, they have a really good running game. And the defense was good. Like, okay, I could buy that. I could buy a move to that's a tough game.
Yeah.
Is that home or away?
That is away.
Okay.
That is away. Okay. That's an away game. And remember, too, one of these home games, I think, could be in Mexico City, right?
They were supposed to have one last year, and obviously that got pulled.
And they've already talked about the international games being moved to this year, so the Cardinals might
Mexico
be
City game.
Sacrificing a home game to play the 49ers, potentially. I think that's who we were speculating on
and
last
year. And
it's
in Mexico City.
I believe it's Mexico City,
Have you ever been there?
I have never been to Mexico City, no. Mm. To Mexico many times.
I've been to Monterrey.
I've never been to Mexico City before.
Monterrey was beautiful.
Was it? Very nice. Yeah. Well, hopefully it's a nice trip for the Cardinals, too. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, he's been the biggest question of the D-backs rotation so far this season. How many more bad starts does Luke Weaver have before he's not in the rotation anymore? One? Two? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Torrey Lovello, pregame. His expectations for Luke Weaver tonight and... what could be next for Luke Weaver if he struggles?
I know that a lot of questions were asked after last outing. What would be happening for Luke? And I don't necessarily want to go into that direction right now. What I'll stand by is that everybody's evaluated every single night on their performance. And that'll be the guys that come in behind him. That'll be the players that play in the game today. That's the beauty of our job. We've got to go out there and evaluate what we're seeing. But I think Luke's in a very good spot.
We'll see if he's in a very good spot, because in his last four starts, he's gone 4 innings, 6 runs, 4 innings, 3 runs, 5 innings, 4 runs, 4 innings, 4 runs. If you're keeping score, he has completed 5 innings of work just once in his last four starts.
Yeah, he's been in a very good spot on the bench watching most of the game. Like, that's been his very good spot.
He's got the best view in the stadium of the baseball game unfolding in front of him.
Yeah, he can watch the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings right from the bench. He's pitched. He's got to pitch better. That's it. I mean, this isn't like, in a nutshell, like, you have to, like, Luke Weaver tonight has to give them more than 5 innings.
Yes.
You have to. Like, if you get blown out before the 5th inning,
How many more?
I think this is it.
Think this is it?
I think so.
His wins above replacement is negative 0.4.
Well, that's never good. That's never good.
Well, who's the replacement that they're comparing him to?
An average player. That's the. Yeah, it's just an average.
So he's a below average player.
The wins above replacement.
And I need that to tell me that.
Yeah, and the replacement in this case is your average Major League Baseball player. You think one more start?
No, I think this could be it if he has a bad.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, one more start. Yeah.
Yeah. Now if he goes five innings and gives up three runs in five innings, I'm not saying he's over the hump either.
He's being
evaluated every week.
I think he is start by start at this point. I think he's, if he has a decent start tonight, okay, you buy yourself another start. And if you have another decent start after that, you buy yourself another start. And if you string together three or four of those, then maybe you kind of get out of this danger zone that you're in right now. I think, and I don't know the exact status of John Duplantier at this point. I think he's ready. Wasn't he, though? I think he cut his hand open when he was fiddling with a knife or something like that. And I don't know for sure his status, but I would imagine he'd be the guy that they would call upon if they needed to make a change.
I think so.
But if he has another poor start tonight,
what do you do with him?
What do you do with
him? He's been here for 3 years now. What do you do with him?
Look,
this was supposed to be part of your rotation going forward. And if you lose that, now Carson Kelly's having a very good year. So,
you put him in the bullpen?
You have to try. You have to try that.
Right.
You have to try it because your bullpen is so bad anyway.
It is. And I had suggested in the preseason, and a friend of mine had mentioned, why don't they put Luke Weaver in the bullpen and just have him throw 30 pitches and just let it all hang out, right? Because you can be, to be a starter and be a two-pitch pitcher is hard. To be a reliever and be a two-pitch pitcher is a lot easier. And he's having a hard time finding what that third pitch is. He's fastball, changeup. You put him down in the bullpen, maybe he can survive on being fastball, changeup, without having to develop a third pitch.
Here we go. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The Arizona Sports Signing Bonus.
Richard Sterkenberg from Mesa. Sterkenberg. Sterkenberg. Richard Sterkenberg.
Sterkenberg.
I enjoy saying your last name,
that
Richard.
I'm going to say that's a strong German name.
I hope you don't mind me saying.
Strong German name.
I enjoy saying your last name. Richard Sterkenberg from Sterkenberg. Mesa. You have 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870 for your $500 signing bonus. That's 602-260-9870. If you didn't hear your name, you can still win by texting the word bonus to 620-620. Listen for your name tomorrow with Doug and Wolf at 735, Bickley and Murata at 135, and with us...
What's his name again?
At 335, Richard Sterkenberg.
I'm going to say his family's from Strasbourg, Germany.
You might be right.
Well, that's what I'm guessing. We're going to guess that.
Wherever your family is from, right now you're currently residing in Mesa and you're on the clock. You have 10 minutes to call us. Here's that telephone number again, 602-260-9870. Back to our conversation about Luke Weaver. Yeah, if you got to try to extract some value out of him. You don't just throw up your hands and give up and say, well, that's it. He's nothing to us. He's dead to us. He can't be a starter.
He's still 28 years old. 28, is he?
I think he's
28.
He's in his mid to late 20s.
Right. So he's not that young prospect anymore.
Nope.
He's 27. He'll be 28 in a couple of months. So, he's not that young prospect at 23, 24, 25. He's more of a veteran pitcher. He's been in this league long enough. You got to try to get something out of him. And listen, when it doesn't work, there's been plenty of starting pitchers that go to the bullpen and have a good career.
Absolutely.
It happens all the time.
All the time.
Dave Righetti was a starting pitcher for the Yankees. When they lost Goose Gossage, he became their closer. He did a good job as a closer. Dennis Eckersley was a starter for the Red Sox, became a great closer. There's plenty of examples of guys that were starting pitchers that ended up being, good relief pitchers. So, I don't know what's going to happen with Weaver, but you got to get something out of him. And if starting pitching doesn't work, then put him in a bullpen.
Yep, because he has the stuff that might play well in the bullpen with his fastball changeup combo. And if he can't find a reliable third pitch, that might be the best way to kind of minimize him to a certain extent, not ask him to throw 80 to 100 pitches a night, and just ask him to throw 30 pitches every two or three days. Good news for the Diamondbacks, especially when you consider they just got done with a road trip in which they scored 12 runs in six games and hit 202. Ketel Marte is going to work out at Chase Field tomorrow.
Ketel continues to ramp up his activity, continues to get at bats. His running progression increased a little bit today, and he's feeling very good. So he's going to come over here to Chase tomorrow. We're going to get a chance to watch him. I know there's going to be some excitement just to see him. We're going to get him on the bases and his spikes and watch him do his thing. So the bat is never an issue, has never been the issue. It's just mostly running and feeling comfortable post-run, and everything's been progressing very well.
Reading from a story from AZ Central from this morning, Lovello said, and I think he said this over the weekend, he has told Marte that he is, quote, strongly in favor, close quote, of Marte playing games in the minors before returning from the injured list.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they're in favor of it.
In favor of it.
Yeah,
yes.
I would
Torrey is strongly in favor of him playing games in the minors.
Get him a few games, you know, get him some swings, get him some reps, and let him come. Look, they need to get him back. I mean, when you see that offense, what'd you say, 202 batting average in the
202 during the road trip, yes, sir.
12 total runs. I mean, 8 runs against the Mets in those 3 games. I think it was 4 against the Mar. It was just not good enough. I mean, he is their offensive catalyst. He's their best offensive player. I mean, for goodness sake, the first bobblehead they're giving out next week is Ketel Marte, the switch-hitting bobblehead.
Yes.
You know, they got to get Ketel Marte back. He is their best player. Once he comes back, it should give them a boost.
And since we're speaking about the rotation, and not that I'm looking forward to this, we'd all like to see Weaver do well tonight and kind of quell these questions about him. If he doesn't, maybe the answer for what they do in the rotation is right here in this Torrey Lovello question about Taylor Widener. Taylor Widener threw a bullpen today.
You know what? I didn't get the pitch count on that, but he threw a bullpen today, and the report was he felt very, very good. So very encouraging news. The next steps are, if he passes the recovery test tomorrow, would be to throw in a simulated game, most likely in the 50 pitch range. And that's as far as we'll go with that. But he's got a couple steps over the next couple days that he's got to work through.
But he looked so good those first few starts. Yeah, you're like, wow, did they find something here? Did they uncover this gem?
Mm-hmm.
Like Taylor Widener, how'd they get him? Oh, they got him in the Yankee deal. Right? Was that the Brandon Drury trade?
They have a history of doing that,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, trying to find
recently,
some diamonds in the rough.
Zach Godley was a diamond in the rough.
You had to bring up Zach Godley.
Well, I saw that he got...
I think he
got hurt, right? He got hurt and...
He pitched one game. He didn't pitch very well, and then he got hurt, and then they waited for him to get better, and then they just let him go.
But at least, you know, when the Diamondbacks found him, he was good for them.
Yeah.
Clay Buchholz that one year. The Diamondbacks do have a little bit of a history of finding guys like that who become very serviceable parts of their rotation, whether it's Godley, whether it's Clay Buchholz. There was another one that I had in mind that just flew the coop in terms of my brain.
Starting pitchers,
yeah. I'll have to go back and look through my notes, but there was another one in recent memory who did it. And
Bronson Arroyo?
No, it wasn't him. But maybe Taylor Widener is that guy. And maybe if Weaver struggles, they fast-track Widener a little bit more to have him ready for something like that. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the buzz about an Aaron Rodgers trade, it's died down a little bit, but there is still that one team that people are pointing to and saying, if he goes, it's going to be there. And we'll tell you who it is coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. Back on the Burns and Gambo show on this Monday, Aaron Rodgers... Gambo asked the question earlier. The schedule is going to be released on Wednesday in the NFL, 5 o'clock hour, so we'll devote the last hour of our show to it like we always do and have some fun with it. The Cardinals are scheduled to play the Packers this year. Here, right? That game, I think I said that game was here. So, you know, you can already picture the cheeseheads and the green and gold at State Farm Stadium. You know that's going to happen. Who will be their quarterback? You asked me, and I'm like, I don't know. If Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, that's a very tough matchup. If Aaron Rodgers isn't the quarterback, I would imagine that's a game we would expect the Arizona Cardinals to win. The latest on the Rodgers saga is nothing. It's very quiet. It was a very quiet weekend in that regard. I saw where, Mike Holmgren came out and he kind of said, yeah, the Packers aren't handling this real well. Well, duh, of course they're not. But here's James Palmer on the NFL Network. And he is citing people within the Denver Broncos organization who think that Rodgers is still very much a possibility for him to go there.
I've talked to people inside the building who have told me that it is a real possibility Aaron Rodgers could end up with the Denver Broncos. Those same people have told me that, remember, deals of this size with players of this nature, MVPs, are difficult to get done, and you don't know if they're going to get done until you get to the finish line. And at the same time, you need the Packers to make him available.
And here's the reason why he thinks Denver is a perfect fit for Rodgers.
Remember how aggressive George Payton has been at the quarterback spot and how he's talked about how aggressive he's going to be about improving the quarterback spot, going after Matthew Stafford, not only coming up short there, but not really going into the free agent market in terms of Andy Dalton or Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Teddy Bridgewater deal was something that's been in the works for a while. And when they heard the news about Aaron Rodgers and his, you know, uncomfortable situation with the Green Bay Packers, they started kind of thinking about what a package would be if they were going to try to put something together for Aaron Rodgers. And obviously, the Packers on draft day weren't picking up the phone and talking about those discussions. But also comes into play their cap situation. Very few teams have the cap ability to land Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos do. They have the second most cap space in the NFL. And then a lot of teams would have to unload an expensive quarterback to make room for Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos don't have that.
This was the biggest story in the NFL, you know, 10, 11 days ago. And now you're kind of at this crossroads. Well, you know what? It's a standoff. What is going to happen? There's no indication that Rodgers is ready to make amends with the Packers and he wants to make up and kiss and, you know, and everything to be okay. The belief is still that, you know, that he wants to get out of there. Will he show up for OTAs? Will he not show up for OTAs? Will he be at mandatory minicamp? Will he not be at mandatory minicamp? I mean, this is all stuff that you've got to kind of figure this out if you're the Packers, because if it comes to that point, you're going to want to trade him. And Denver's got a lot of assets going forward, and that seems to be a logical place for him to land.
I think there's two factors here at play when you talk about Rodgers, to your point, about Rodgers leading Green Bay. I think factor number one is how hard Aaron Rodgers makes life on Green Bay over these next few months. How, you know, behind the scenes or publicly, how forceful is he being, right? How much of a, for lack of a better word, how much of a jerk is he going to be about Green Bay? Is he, hey, guys, I'm going to retire. I'm not playing for you. I'm going to do what Carson Palmer did all those years ago with the Bengals. I'm going to walk away from the game, and I'm not going to play. I would choose to do that over playing for you, and I am to be taken seriously here. If he plays that card and plays it behind the scenes with management over and over and over again, and they believe it, then they might be motivated to do something about it.
There is one number that kind of makes me wonder how hard he would play that. That's $30 million. That's the money he'd have to give back if he retired. So there is 30 million reasons not to retire.
Of course.
That's a lot. Hey, I'm going to retire. Okay, write me a check. 30 million. You're not retiring. You could play that bluff if you're the Packers. He's not writing a $30 million check to the Packers. He's not going to do it. Now, the last time we had a guy threaten to retire and really mean it was Carson Palmer.
Right. Carson did it.
He threatened
and it works.
And he told us, I'm not playing. Like, I've got enough money in the bank. I'm never playing for you again.
Yep.
I'll retire. And I'm like, and he meant it. And he stood his ground and got traded to the Raiders.
Yep.
Now, Rodgers, again, I'm sure he's got the money, but man, who wants to write a $30 million check?
No, nobody does. And I can't believe I'm bringing this up, but if this Jeopardy thing is real, you know, like if he really will end up being the full-time host of Jeopardy, that's like a $10 million a year gig. That's what Alex Trebek was making, the late Alex Trebek before he passed away.
$10 million a year?
$10 million a year. Yeah, you're making $10 million. And you know how many days a week, how many days a year you work?
How many?
49. I don't know why I looked it up. 49 days. They tape a year's worth of Jeopardy in 49 days. And the late Alex Trebek got paid $10 million a year for that.
We've already identified that I'm not smart enough for that show, right?
We have sources close to me confirm you are not smart enough to be the host of Jeopardy. It would require the pronunciation of many foreign entities that you would struggle with mightily. In particular, French words.
Can't even get the right Mother's Day gift. How are you going to host a game show?
I've never flopped that bad on a gift for my wife before. That's the worst.
Well done, Spencer.
I have been with my wife in some capacity for about 10 years now. That's the worst flop I've ever had.
The other thing that's going to drive this Rodgers deal, I'm telling you, is John Elway. John Elway's ability to pick out quarterbacks has been awful. Awful.
Except if it's an old guy with just a couple of years left.
Hence Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, what was that stat going into the draft that I read about the Broncos quarterbacks since Manning retired? The worst total QBR collectively in the league are the Denver Broncos at the quarterback position. They've been awful at it, just awful at it. So the desperation it would take out of the Broncos to pursue a Rodgers deal, they'd give the Packers whatever they wanted. What do you want? We'll give it to you. We haven't been able to find a quarterback for as long as since Peyton Manning quit.
Yeah, and they went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. When was the last time they didn't have a good quarterback? Like, when was the last time? Don Majkowski?
The Magic Man, probably.
The last time they didn't have
and
a good quarterback.
And even he was good at the start. It was towards the end where he was really bad. He had one year where he was good, but after that, he was terrible.
Favre to Rodgers. Now, they only got one Super Bowl out of each of them, right? One out of Favre, one out of Rodgers. But that's a long time to go with having quality quarterbacks.
Yeah. I'd take one Super Bowl out of Kyler Murray. If it's just one when it's all said and done. I'd take one out of Kyler if the Cardinals could make that happen. Yeah.
That would be special.
It would be very special.
That would be special.
Speaking of making things happen, Tim Tebow as a tight end to the Jacksonville Jaguars is happening.
God. Listen, Tebow was amazing. He's a great person.
It's happening.
He was a fantastic college quarterback. He was just a great college quarterback at Florida, winning those championships. I remember him and Chris Leak sharing time the first time he came. He was one of the great college quarterbacks. It didn't work out in the NFL as a quarterback. Then he went to play baseball. It didn't work out in baseball. Now he wants to try it. By all means, try it. But his age is starting to get to the point where, hey, Tim Tebow's not 27 years old anymore. He's like, what, 34?
He's 33 years
33.
Old. He hasn't, Jordan, what? I apologize, Jordan, 3,000 days, I think was what you said in show prep?
It was well over 3,000. I can't remember the exact numbers.
How many years is that?
Since he's played a football game, 9 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's been 9 years.
It's been 9 years since he played a football game?
Somebody on Twitter asked the question, all jokes aside, why is Tebow back in the NFL? I'm not joking. I want to know the answer.
Urban Meyer?
Is it Meyer? Yeah.
It's his hometown team as well, his college coach. Yeah.
Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
I love him. I'm going to give him a shot. He wants to try it. I'll give him a shot.
Should have done this 6 years ago, 7 years ago. You might have had a chance to make it stick rather than be so painted into your corner of I'm a quarterback or I'm nothing.
He had that one magic moment, though, in the playoffs, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure
Who did they beat? The Denver Broncos beat somebody.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Demaryius Thomas. Yeah.
The pass to Demaryius. Mm-hmm. Was like an 80-something yard pass? 88-yard pass. How do you remember that?
I just saw the replay this morning. Oh, okay. They were showing it on
88-yard pass to Demaryius. I mean, that's his one. Listen, he's got that one moment. That's great.
And I'll tell you something else, too. If the Jacksonville Jaguars are also a candidate to be selected for Hard Knocks, that would be a very compelling storyline. Tim Tebow trying to revive his career as a tight end on TV.
I totally disagree.
You don't think that would be that would draw eyeballs?
No, like
you could say it wouldn't draw your eyeballs. You don't think that would draw eyeballs?
I'm going to tell you why I don't think it will.
Okay.
Okay. Because he's not like he's just such a good guy. He's not going to say anything that's going to cause any problems. He's not going to do it. You want problems. You want guys that are going to cause problems. You want controversy.
There's no controversy with Tim Tebow. He's just too nice. Too darn nice.
Thank you so much for the interview. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
He's not going to cause any controversy.
I happen to think Tim Tebow on Hard Knocks would draw some eyeballs for at least an episode.
Hey, they're going to bring Tim Tebow in to cut him. Let's hear what he has to say. Thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate
it. He's got one target in his career, and it was a pass from Mark Sanchez that hit him in the face.
Well, he's going to have to improve on that part of his game, to say the least. Monty Williams said that the Lakers sent a message to the Suns in that win last night by L.A. Was that message received by the Suns roster? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.